Okay, we have an interesting thing with our scripture. It is Genesis 45. However, in our bulletin is Genesis 14. I don't really know why we have Genesis 14, but I'm going to be reading to you from Genesis 45. So if you would stand as you are able. If it's difficult to... Yeah. I think Ruth Ann just wanted to see if I could read these names. Oh. This is at the end of the trials of Joseph when he is being reunited with his family. Genesis 45, beginning with verse 3. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. And he said, "I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on the earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God made me lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herd, and all that you have. I will provide for you, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." And then the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 43rd verse. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. In our scripture lesson today, we're going to be talking about 3 simple rules. Now, everybody that serves on a committee in this church ought to know the 3 simple rules because we read them at the beginning of every meeting that we have. 3 simple rules, and they can be found in the 2 scriptures that we just read. And rule number 1 is do no harm. And I have no idea where my little picto went, but doing no harm. I want you to think of this in the same way of something that you probably have known since you were a child. Y'all remember the 3 wise monkeys? The 3 wise monkeys, what do they say? Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. And there's a 4th one that is do no evil. So we're going to talk about doing no harm. Rule number 1, do no harm. It is so difficult to live through 1 day without doing harm to either yourself or someone else. It's simple, but it's not easy. Let's just take it 1 at a time. Hear no evil. Hear no evil. Do no harm. How can we do harm by just listening? That was a real question. How do we do harm by just listening? Judging, listen to somebody say bad things about somebody else. Yeah, that gets into our next one, speak no evil. But yeah, not speaking up for the right. But when we hear, we're not supposed to listen to gossip. I don't think we ought to be listening to off-color jokes. You know, one of the things that you can do when somebody starts to tell that, and you say, well, I don't want, you know, to offend them. Well, I don't want them to offend me. And I've got, it's kind of like smoking. You have a right to smoke, but I've got a right not to. And so I should not have to breathe your smoke, and I shouldn't have to listen to your joke either. I shouldn't have to listen to your racial slurs. I shouldn't have to listen to your nasty talk, because it harms me. It pollutes my soul to listen to those things. But beyond that, we listen to music that sends a wrong message. Guilty. You know? One of the joys of my teen years and my 20s and my 30s and my 40s was I love rock and roll. And what's really crazy is when I was younger, I couldn't understand the words. Now I can. And when I listen to something, you know, and something comes on the radio and it's something that I used to listen to, and I start along with it, and I actually hear the words. Whoa. And part of it, I knew the words, but I didn't know what they meant. I know what they mean now. So, yeah. Do no harm to myself or to others by what I hear. Do no harm to myself or to others by what I speak. Now that was a little easier for us to get. We know that we shouldn't spread gossip. We shouldn't tell lies. We shouldn't say hateful and mean things to people. You shouldn't say derogatory things about anyone, including yourself. That is not, you speak the truth in love. But never speak in anger. If you're mad, keep your mouth shut. You can't take it back. You do harm with your tongue. You do harm with your words. Those things that come spewing out are like a fire. I have heard things said that damaged me for decades. Decades. I'm not talking about I got my little feelings hurt. I'm talking about damaged for decades. And we should never just offhand speak because you don't know who's listening. Do no harm with that little tongue. Do no harm with what you look at. I'm beginning to get very concerned with the amount of violence that we see every day. I'm concerned not just about the video games that our kids play. I'm concerned about us. I'm concerned about the people in this room. I'm concerned about the 80-year-olds and the 70-year-olds and the 60-year-olds and the 30-year-olds and the 20-year-olds. I'm talking about what is watched on television, what we read, the magazines that we look at. All of those things do harm. And when we display those things for others to see, we do harm. And Facebook, people, is a two-edged sword. It needs to be under our control. See, the do no harm is all about restraint. I like the way my grandfather used to say it. He used to say the man didn't have a temper wasn't worth 2 cents, but a man that had a temper he couldn't control was worth even less. We need to be in control of ourselves at all times. We need to be sure that we have enough self-discipline to do no harm. The last little monkey that's not in the set with all of them, but I do have one that has all four, is do no evil. You would think if you didn't speak any evil or look at any evil or hear any evil that you'd put, but folks, doing no evil is hard. It is difficult to restrain ourselves for that little moment. Mostly in anger, sometimes in lust, we do things that we should not. There are some people that should have that middle finger removed because it's causing them to sin. What is it the Bible says? If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Discipline yourself. Discipline yourself. Do no harm. And then, that's not enough. It is not enough to not do bad things. Folks, you also have to do good things. Love is an action word. You should do acts of kindness. Now, what do they call it? Preaching to the choir? This is one of the most loving churches I've ever seen. And we do acts of kindness all the time. But beyond acting kindly, we have to have forgiveness. Not just forgiveness for those who have failed publicly, but forgiveness in our own hearts for those who have sinned against us. And even harder, those who have sinned against those that we love. That's hard. I'm not going to say it's not hard. It's simple, but not easy. We have got to forgive, because if you have ever prayed the prayer, forgive us, forgive me as I forgive others, if you have not forgiven, you are not forgiven. And I don't know any grudge that's worth losing your soul over. And horrible things have happened to people. I'm not making light of that at all. There are people who have suffered devastating things. Like I say, not talking about just getting your little feelings hurt. I'm talking about forgiving devastated things. Forgiving the people that murdered my cousin Steve. Forgiving the people that we know who have done horrible things to children. I'm talking about forgiving those people who have violated our personal trust, our public trust. I'm talking about the people who have done unspeakable things. We are still called to forgive. Simple, but not easy. Forgiveness sometimes takes a lot of work. And then it's not just enough to say, this person that has wronged, I will be polite and pleasant. It's not enough to say that if they're hungry, I will give them food. It's not enough to say that, you know, okay, I will work it, not holding a grudge of any kind. You've got to take it a step further. You have to actively seek their welfare. Actively work toward their good. The Bible says that maybe that will heap the coals of fire on their head, which, by the way, doesn't mean it's punishing them. It means that it causes them to repent. There are people, and let's admit it, can we just be honest here? There are people that you know that you really don't care if they go to hell, and you kind of sort of hope they do. Let's be honest. It's the truth, you know, and it may not be anybody that you personally know, but let's think about it. Did you want to see Osama bin Laden saved? Did you? Were you hoping that he would enter the gates of heaven? Like I say, you know, the Hitlers of this world, we want them to get their comeuppance. Is that how God feels? Does God want them to suffer for eternity? Does God want them to go to hell? No. Who are we supposed to be like? Are we supposed to be like him and breed hate? Or are we supposed to be like Christ and breed love, which is love is actively seeking the welfare of others? Did you pray for him to get saved? And it doesn't count if you say, Lord, please save him before we nuke him. The reason I know that doesn't count is because I tried that. I'm just going to be honest. I'm a human being too. And I get angry over these horrible things that happen. And I read the newspaper and I look at, you know, the front page, and what was it this past week? We had a mother that was hiring a hitman to kill her son because she wanted some insurance. And a few other things that I won't even go into. Lord have mercy. And you look at that and you just wonder why God doesn't just nuke us all and get it over with. But we have to actively, when we see stuff like that, we're going to have a kind of a gut reaction of anger. But then you have to say, what could have possessed a person like that? Please, God, save their soul. Let them see what they've done. Because, folks, that lady that wanted to kill her son, somebody loves her. She was somebody's child, somebody's sister. It's just amazing to me. all of that goes on in the world, but I wonder if the world would be so evil if we were praying for the evil ones, for their good. It's what Jesus did. When they were putting nails in him, he said, "Father, forgive them." If anybody has done something worse than that to you, maybe God will give you the okay to go ahead and hold it against him. But I don't think so. We're supposed to be like him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did they know they were crucifying a man? Yes, they did. Of course they did. They were enjoying it. But they didn't know the evil that they were doing. They didn't really understand. And are there bad people in this world? You better believe it. But we pray for them. And just because they have done wrong, we do not have the excuse to not help them. Stay in love with God. This one's a rough one too. Sometimes this might be the roughest one, because bad things happen and we question, what was God thinking? Where was he when this was going on? Why didn't he stop it? And I'm not the only person in this room that's had that thought. The only way to eradicate evil from this world would be to eradicate the carriers. And that's us, just as much as it is the Osama bin Ladens of the world. Because we've already admitted that we say bad things, we listen to bad things, we look at bad things, and we do bad things. And with us, it's a matter of degree, but with God, sin is sin. So, he does not eradicate the human race because he loves us. And he wants everybody to have time. Time to see. Time to understand. Time to make things right. And even out of the worst situations, God brings good. And when you're in the middle of the swamp, up to your ears in alligators, it's sometimes hard to remember that, but God always brings good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Stay in love with God because he loves us. He forgives us. He does kind things for us. He actively works for our welfare 24/7. Three simple rules. Do no harm. Do good, stay in love with God. Say it with me. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Say it again. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. One more time. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Three simple things that, and that's all it takes, folks, to live like Jesus. To live a perfect Christian life. Now, before somebody out there says, or at least thinks, well, nobody's perfect. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, be ye perfect as your Father is perfect. And if the Lord God is perfect and he tells us to be perfect, he wouldn't tell us to do something we're not capable of doing. We can be perfect. Perfect being defined as never knowingly sinning. We will never, ever, ever be able to never sin. But we are capable of never knowingly sinning. We're completely capable of that because it's a choice, folks. So the next time somebody says that hateful thing to you, you restrain yourself. And as soon as you're able, say a prayer for their well-being. And sometimes, let me tell you, sometimes those prayers start out very hypocritically. Sometimes you have to make yourself say them. Say it anyway. You hear what I'm telling you? Say it anyway. Even if you don't mean it when you first begin, just consistently say that prayer for their good until it becomes real. John Wesley said, preach faith until you get faith. Speak forgiveness until you can actually do it. That's how you get there. You don't wait until you have all this love and feeling in your heart. And by the way, you don't have to hang with these people forever. But you do have to forgive. It's a simple life. The hardest one you'll ever live. But the best it could ever be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.